Welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 8, recorded on December 19th, 2012. Merry almost Christmas! In this special Advent episode, we talk about hockey, the NHL lockout, and the World Juniors and Good King Wenceslas. We discuss some of the latest moves in the CFL, The Hobbit, and is auto racing a sport? All that and more next. Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers, a special Christmas, pre-Christmas, Advent edition. Got to be liturgically correct. We are priests after all. I'm Father Darryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan, snowy and cold Watson, Saskatchewan. And joining me tonight, we've got a great panel, or what did you call us last time, Travis? Father Travis, an arrogance of priests?
Yeah.
Something like that. Father Travis in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan is with us. Hello, Father Travis.
Hello, hello.
Father Andrew in St. Paul, Alberta is also here with us this evening. Hello, Father Andrew.
Hello, hello.
And Father Jeffrey Young in Saskatoon. How's it going, Father Jeffrey?
It's going well. How are you?
Great. Excellent. Actually, it's going really good because it's Advent and we're getting very close to Christmas. And I've got my nice eggnog here with me right now.
Oh.
There might be something else in there as well, but I'm not going to comment about that.
Like hot chocolate?
Yeah, that's what it is, sure.
Winter cheer?
Something like that. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Jingle bells. All right, so we have not recorded in almost a month, not since the Grey Cup.
Terrible days.
There hasn't been a heck of a lot going on in some ways. Sadly, most of what's been going on, at least as far as the sports that we follow, happens to have happened over a bargaining table and now in a courtroom. So we've got some breaking news for you on day 95 of the NHL lockout. The lockout is...
still going on.
Sigh. Yes, I know it's been kind of this running gag as we do these podcasts, and I really, really wish it wasn't anymore.
Well, then why do you keep bringing it up?
Well, what else are we going to talk about?
Exactly.
None of us watch NFL, and certainly we don't watch NBA.
What about KHL?
I don't get that on my satellite. I don't know. Do you get that?
You can watch it online.
I mean, you'd be watching a bunch of NHL players, right? So...
We could watch hockey at like 9:10 in the morning our time if we just online.
That's true. I should check that out.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple weeks ago, it looked very hopeful for the NHL lockout when a number of the players were meeting with a number of the owners separate from Gary Bettman and Don Fehr. And it looked really hopeful. And then all of a sudden, the balloon popped. It totally burst.
Mm-hmm.
On what was that, the Thursday, the infamous Thursday, Black Thursday? Were you guys following it that day?
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, it's probably good that you weren't following it, Father Andrew.
I think it's funny that they call it Black Thursday. I mean, that says a lot about...
Yeah. I don't know if they do. I might have just done that, but...
Everything's black when it's bad, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless you're making a profit, then it's black.
It's true, but capitalism is evil, so that's bad. Don't get me started, Daryl. Okay.
But you know, that's... I don't know if you guys were, for the other two of you guys, if you were following that day. I remember seeing the news conference from Don Fehr, and it was very hopeful. He was saying they were very close. They've basically got most of the money issues solved. They're very, very close. And then out comes Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. And Bettman just launches into a half-hour-long rant that just totally let the air out of everything. It was one of those things where I remember watching it and going, oh my goodness, what is going on here? Like, I had my hopes brought up, and then they were just completely dashed.
Dashed.
Yes.
So what actually happened then? Why did things fall apart? Or?
Well, it depends on who you believe.
I don't believe the union.
Because according to...
I don't believe Bettman either. I don't like him.
Well, that's the problem. Who do you believe? Because, I mean, the union is saying one thing, that they were very close, and, you know, there's a few issues to sort out, and Bettman comes out and basically says that the players were almost offensive to the owners and how they dismissed a few hundred million dollars being put onto the table. And some of the owners were really unhappy about that. And Bettman himself looked pretty livid. I don't know the guy. I don't know if it was an act or not. According to Don Cherry, what I saw on Twitter, but Don Cherry figures that it was not an act for Gary Bettman to act or to be so livid in front of the microphones. So it's such a ridiculous thing because the NHL has been making record profits and they just can't figure out how to divvy it up.
Yeah.
So the question is, and this is something I saw on the Globe and Mail, if and when they do end up playing again, what do you think will be the result? I mean, it's obviously too early to tell, but at least in the people that you talk to in the parishes and whatever, do you think they'll end up coming back to supporting the NHL at least initially? Have they lost some people permanently, do you think?
I think it's going to go back to the level it was coming back from the last lockout. Not quite the level it used to be, you know, growing up and huge, but I think it's like starting over again. But I don't know. I'll watch hockey, especially if it's if they have a short season with a really competitive playoff. I think it'll come back just full force. But if they lose the whole season, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very bad.
It's like the NBA, right? Because they had a shortened season, but their playoffs turned out to be pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a whole lot of people are talking about the NBA lockout outside of NHL people who are looking at what happened in the NBA.
Yeah. I think if they can salvage the season, it's going to be like it never stopped. But if they miss a whole season like they did last time, it's going to be really bad.
I would agree with that. What do you guys think?
Well, I was looking at the Edmonton Journal this morning. I guess it was yesterday morning. Anyway, I just loaded up the article on my iPhone. But it's basically this sort of commentary. NHL Players Union doing their best to alienate fans, destroy a $3.3 billion a year business.
It's like, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm just going to read the first like three little... No, the first two paragraphs are short.
Sure.
One line and then the third one. So what's it like watching a professional sports league slowly kill itself? That's what's happening to the National Hockey League during the prolonged lockout. In Canada, NHL hockey is our addiction, but I sense an awful lot of fans have their noses out of joint with this lockout, and we're talking hockey country. If that's the case here and in Ottawa and Calgary, how do you think it's in Sunrise, Florida, where the Panthers play?
Yeah. That's a good point.
A good point is why does Gary Bettman put teams in Sunrise, Florida? Crappy teams like that forced lockouts because we don't have an equitable power sharing and all this nonsense. There's teams where there shouldn't be teams, and there should be teams where there isn't. So,
I mean, I would imagine Ontario could support one in Hamilton quite well. Quebec City could support one.
They have a second team. Quebec City, perhaps, but they got weird government over there, like taxes, and they'll never build arena. They'll tax the heck out of them. So I don't know.
I thought there were some tentative plans there to get a new rink.
I think maybe, but there's nothing as organized as what was going on in Winnipeg for like 10 years. And that was very business friendly, very big, smart planning, right? Like they with the IHL or they at the AHL team. So that was good.
But. I wonder if the people in Winnipeg wish the Moose were back right now, though. At least they'd be playing.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't think Saskatoon will ever get a team, though. It's, or at least not unless it like triples in population. It's just too small.
Mm-hmm.
20 years from now, maybe. But
maybe, yeah.
Unless they start building rinks bigger than they are, I could see us supporting a team with another 100,000 people, but.
Yeah, but even then, think of inflation.
Yes.
I'm just talking about filling an arena. It doesn't matter what the ticket price is. Like we break all the records whenever we have concerts across North America because got nothing better to do. But people go there, like the World Junior record. Not just in seats because we couldn't fit more than we could in our arena, but for like beer and 50-50 sales. It was like the largest ever profit.
Right. So this is Saskatoon, yeah.
Very well.
I think Saskatoon does well for special events, but if it's, say, mid-January on a Tuesday evening and your home team has a losing record.
And you have to go to Sask Place in that crazy parking lot over there.
Which is, yeah, in a terrible spot. That's part in the of city.
The
problem
is yes. The way they built the arena. So.
Yes. So, but yeah, I think that article that you have there, Father Andrew, has a definite point, though. I'm kind of concerned about, like, Phoenix and some of these teams that have already been struggling in markets that are not traditionally hockey markets.
Well, yeah, you're alienating the already potentially not so committed fans.
Yeah. Like, I think the NHL was hoping for it to work as well as it did in Los Angeles because, you know, for whatever reason, Los Angeles worked really well as far as a hockey franchise goes. I'm sure Wayne Gretzky had a large part about that, but it still seemed to work fairly well.
Well, Los Angeles, though, is what, 20 million people?
Well, yeah, yeah.
There's a big difference between a bunch of retired New Yorkers sitting around in Boca Vista, Florida, and Los Angeles. Like, it's a bigger market, but I don't know. They got two teams in Florida, and neither of them work, and they're in pretty big markets. But
well, that's because they're catering to the snowbirds from Toronto.
Nice.
It's true. And the one, and who did you think Phoenix was supposed to cater to? It was supposed to the snowbirds from Western Canada.
Good point. Yeah. And so what I'm noticing with Prince Albert or my parishes or anything like that is that the high school kids generally just don't really care. Like, they're disappointed they can't watch their teams, but they're playing their own hockey and they're loving it and they're supporting their local Western Hockey League teams.
Right.
Like the PA Raiders, shout out to them because we're doing awesome this year. You can follow them on Twitter. and then for the adults, it's the same thing. Is they're taking their kids to hockey games. And the ones that care about hockey, that's what they're doing. And so the NHL, like, it's like, it would be nice, but they don't really care. That's really what I'm noticing around. At first, it was like it's a big deal. But now it's not even a big deal at all.
My kids at the high school, they're just so caught up with the Bloods and the Crips and the gang fighting and then also the end of the world on Friday that we just live the YOLO philosophy, so we don't really think about coming seasons and lockouts. We just live each day like it's our last.
Hey, if the world ended on Friday, it'd make this upcoming weekend and a bit for the priests a lot easier, eh?
Yeah. Two less homilies I got to write.
You mean you're not done your homilies yet?
I'm thinking about tomorrow's. Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too. Anyway, so I don't know if there's anything more to say about the NHL. I just
let it die. No, I think it's not going to happen before January, and then they come back, and when it's like the deadline night, I think they actually are going to make a deal.
And the reports I've seen about that are suggesting around January 15th.
That's the deadline, drop dead date or whatever.
Yeah. Now, there is some good news with that, though. Bill Daly, what's his official title? Assistant Commissioner? Vice Commissioner?
Assistant something hockey operations.
Yeah. He's second in line after Bettman anyway. Yeah, but he was on a parochial vicar. Hockey vicar. He was on the radio this morning, I guess, and he was asked point blank whether he thought there would be hockey, NHL hockey this season, and he was told that he could not answer, I don't know, yes or no. And so he answered yes, that he thinks there will be NHL hockey this season. Now, I mean, what else is he going to say, obviously? So take that with a grain of salt, I guess. But why don't we talk about a type of hockey that is actually going to be played, and I believe there's actually the first pre-tournament exhibition game tomorrow or Friday, and that is the World Junior Championships.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Which should be an interesting one. There's not a whole lot of returning players on the Canadian side from what I can see. But there are people like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins who's playing. I believe this is his first World Juniors, actually.
Nuge.
Who would be otherwise in the NHL.
Yeah, it is his first juniors.
Okay. And there was another player who I think got suspended by whatever league he plays in Quebec. Huberto, I think it is. So he'll be missing a few games in the tournament. Jonathan Huberto. I can't remember what he did, but...
Oh, he's for the St. John Sea Dogs, and he was appointed alternate captain.
Okay. I think that's the name. Maybe I better double check that, but there is one of the higher profile players anyway was suspended for something or other in the QMJHL, and the International Ice Hockey Federation is honoring that suspension. So I don't know if that means that when he gets back to his home team, if he's going to have to sit out the suspension again or not. I don't know. That would suck.
Yeah. Well, I guess Huberto was chosen third overall in 2011 by Florida.
Oh, yeah?
So if it was him, yeah, that's still fairly high profile because he was only two spots after Nugent Hopkins.
Right. Yeah, a number of these guys I don't know a whole lot about. I know Malcolm Subban, one of the goalies, is the younger brother of PK Subban.
Yeah, he really sucked in that exhibition game against the Alberta University.
That's what I heard. However, I see that he is starting tomorrow. They're having the first pre-game against, who is it, Finland?
Yeah.
Finland. And he's starting that one. So I guess he'll have a chance maybe to play his way back into possibly playing. Right now he's sitting third in the depth chart.
He's going to have to stand on his head to get back into the top spots or anything, because he had a really, really bad game.
Right. Now, in his team in the OHL, he does have a fairly good save percentage, .932 save percentage.
Yeah.
So stats on his home team are pretty good, apparently. But, yeah, I guess it's probably a whole different thing when you're playing in front of an international audience versus in the OHL.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a difference, too. I mean, right now, sure, they lost to the U of A 4-1, but the thing is you're still getting used to a bunch of guys that have come together. They've never played with each other before, at least not much. And he's not sure how his defense plays. They're not sure how to help him out. So that also does have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the other goalies were playing for Alberta. And they were doing well. Like they used all whatever four goalies to each side used them.
Oh, okay.
So they saw all the goalies, right? And the other guys were fine. And they were playing with, talk about not knowing your team. They were playing with a bunch of university guys at a lower level, and they were excellent. So I don't know.
you are right, because it does say here. Right? Like I'm looking at Hockey Canada, and it says this pretty much sums it up. Malcolm Subban had a tough start in Canada's net as he gave up three goals in Alberta's first seven shots.
Ooh.
But set down and made 11 saves. Jordan Washington then turned away 7 of 8 in his half of the game.
So. Yeah.
Which isn't actually that good either, but still.
Now, mind you, university players might be a little bit older than some of these guys, too. You know.
Yeah, but
they're
also older.
Well, yeah, but older. Like they're 22 instead of 20.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be better. Like
they might be a little bigger, and
they're more filled out.
They're not.
Yeah, they're more filled out. Yeah, possibly. Yeah,
maybe. Perhaps. Yeah. Some of these guys are playing NHL, right? Like it's not. I don't know. Right. Like the world guys.
I'm just trying to give an out for them. I mean, one of the things that I do get a little concerned about with the World Juniors, although part of what makes it so entertaining is that these are pretty young players, and sometimes I get a little concerned about how much pressure we put on them.
Yeah.
But I think that makes for some really entertaining hockey. Like a couple years ago when Canada lost in the gold medal game against Russia, right, and Russia scored five goals in a period? Ouch. I mean, it was bad for Canadian hockey fans and for the Canada team, but it was entertaining hockey. I mean, you saw, the guys are not perfect. They make mistakes. And
that was just last year, wasn't it?
Was it last year in Buffalo, whenever that was.
Right. No, that was 2 years ago then, because they go from...
we had back-to-back North American.
Yeah.
Back-to-back North American, but they only do...
back to
every second years in Canada.
Yes, you're right.
So it was technically in the States, but they still put it there because they knew they'd get a whole bunch of Canadian fans.
Exactly.
The next one will be in Minot.
There you go.
You mean in 2 years?
North Dakota.
Or Windsor or something like that. That'd be good.
Windsor's in Canada.
So Detroit.
Exactly. Well, actually, the thing is, for hockey fans, though, I bet you there's going to most people are going to turn on the World Juniors
to get their
hockey fix.
I think
exactly.
Even when the season's on, I prefer the World Juniors is my favorite batch of hockey to watch ever. It's always the best, and it's like you said, Daryl. It's like they're young guys that they don't have any money. They're just playing from their heart, and sometimes you lose, but. It's one of the best competitions ever.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So that starts, I believe, on what, Boxing Day usually? Yeah, Boxing Day on TSN.
St. Stephen's Day.
Yes. Good King nice. Wenceslas went to town.
And got stabbed by his brother.
On the Feast of Stephen? What? Oh. What?
That's what the St. Wenceslas, that's what happened. Read the story.
Oh, okay.
No.
Bloody.
Yes, he did. That's how he was murdered. But it wasn't on the day after Christmas.
And also, St. Stephen, murdered!
Right. Murdered.
Holy Innocents, murdered! There's a lot of murder right after Christmas. 3 days of it. It's pretty cool, actually. It's.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. What
are martyrs.
How's that eggnog
going? No, they're not.
Yes.
What are the three immediately after Christmas?
Saint Stephen, and then you have Holy Martyrs, and what's the other one?
No, you're missing one. Saint John the Evangelist is not a martyr.
You figure a priest would have some parts of the octave memorized, but.
And then you have Holy Innocents after Saint John.
Sorry, I went on Daryl saying about Saint Wenceslas, and I was just thinking it was one of those days.
I was thinking of the song because Sheldon Cooper sang it on the last Big Bang Theory. But anyway,
no, that's right. Saint John the Evangelist
looked out on the even.
All right, so this is going right off the rails. Want to talk about football?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think of Hamilton's new head coach? Yeah,
I don't know, Father Travis. What do you think about Kent Austin joining the Tiger Cats?
We are not going. We're not going to speak of that. So there is no football topic. What? Oh, so the Vikings though? Yeah, the Vikings are not in the playoffs, but that's okay. So go Green Bay. They're doing good in our division, and that's all the football talk we have to talk about.
Well, by the way, I think we're going to have an episode around the new year, though, because of all the bowl games coming up.
Yes.
We'll definitely
have
to do that.
And we're inviting Brother Hugh Dowell to join us for that one.
Sure. That sounds awesome. But getting back to the CFL.
Hey. No, there's no CFL football.
I have to say this. Father Travis, I do somewhat agree with you in that it is painful to talk about Kent Austin coming back to the league. Yeah, not for the Riders. And not for the Riders.
I didn't hear you.
But
I didn't hear you.
It'll be very interesting to see how he does there, because I don't think the problem with the Tiger Cats was necessarily the offense as much as the defense.
I think the problem
and Austin's offensive
here
coach.
Is the fact that you're talking about this.
what do you guys think about it?
What's the problem? What's this?
Feeling spurned, I think. Shunned.
Well, he's going to go there and he's going to be a nothing burger, and we'll never hear of him again. He came back to Saskatchewan, where he actually the only time he ever had success in his coaching career. You know, it might be a chance.
Well, he did as an offensive coordinator.
With who?
Toronto.
What, they won?
Yeah.
What did they win?
Grey Cup.
When?
2004.
Oh. No. Did they win? Or did they lose in the Grey Cup?
I'm pretty sure he won a Grey Cup as an assistant coach before he came to the Saskatchewan.
Keep talking. I'm going to look. This is a fact
check. I'm also looking this up here.
Fact check.
Yeah, Toronto won. They beat BC 27-19.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he won twice. Then he's got two options, Toronto or Saskatchewan. Doesn't have an option to go to where Talon goes to die in Hamilton there.
But like, let's put it this way. I want to ask you a question. Now, if Kent Austin had went back to Saskatchewan, what position would he get?
Every position he's got in Hamilton. Give him everything.
You'd have vice president for operations, general manager, and head coach.
He could be mayor. We could anoint him king of Saskatchewan.
This is because, true.
All because he happened to lead.
Might you. Even ordain him manager.
All because he happened to lead you to that Cinderella story in 2007.
We'll ride that till the end of time.
And 89. Yes, don't forget 1989.
And then until we win again, and then we'll go with that to that next guy, and he's got license to come back to do whatever he wants.
So it's like 89-07 till it comes again.
Amen. Oh, all right, this is awesome. Okay, so other stuff happened in the CFL too besides the Kent Austin.
Hey,
and we'll see what happens there.
Of course, the really good one is the signing of the most outstanding defensive player of the year in the CFL, JC Sherritt, by the Edmonton Eskimos.
Yes, I have to admit, I was kind of hoping they wouldn't, because then there's a chance for another team to get him.
Hey,
he was dominant. There's no question there.
No, that's good. I'm happy that we signed him, because I mean, hey, half of our defense, I think, was actually all was for free agents this year. So we need a few pieces of the puzzle need to be re-signed.
Well, they also let go. No, they re-signed their kicker for like a six-figure salary, which surprised me. Eskimos, they re-signed Shaw.
Oh.
Yeah. But speaking of why they can sign anybody, they've also got a new general manager.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Ted Hervey.
Like the car?
Not Herbie. Oh man, Hervey, Ed Hervey, former player too.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a former player for the Eskimos.
This is totally off the rails. This is an awesome Advent how can you tell we're a bunch of priests who are like we're a bunch of priests who are totally tired out and
I'm a penitentialed out. We just did our last penitential service tonight. So.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
Although I've got two more unofficial ones tomorrow night.
What?
Because we always give an extra couple nights at Holy Spirit for the sinners that are procrastinators.
Sounds good.
We're just that good. Yeah, that nice.
You're very holy.
Holy indeed.
Right and just.
It's interesting that that Edmonton would re-sign Grant Shaw. Considering there were two games that were down to field goals that he missed.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, I better confirm this then.
No, it is. It's right here.
Is it?
Right.
Okay, you found it.
Eskimos.ca. Grant Shaw resides with Eskimos. But how much did he get? That I can't tell
thought
you.
It was a six figure, but.
Oh.
The people of Edmonton rewarding incompetence for 100 years.
Oh.
It's like, what's going on with the quarterback situation in Edmonton? What's the plan there?
I don't know if they figured that one out yet.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, probably some of it will depend on how well Nichols' injury recovery goes.
Well, even then, would he really be ready to be the starter?
That's a good question. But mind you, I mean, that's almost an ideal situation to try a guy out like that because you've got a seasoned veteran behind him to help him out.
What, leaving Giles you're talking about or Joseph?
Joseph. Well, yeah. Giles too, but I mean Joseph, though. We can just kind of mentor the guy.
Well, that would be good. I mean, he showed a lot of promise, but I mean, I know there were people talking on... Like Dan Tenser was talking on 630 Chat. He was just wondering whether or not Nichols would be or maybe it was Brian Hall, whether or not Nichols would actually be ready to be the starter. Being the number one backup, probably. But whether or not he'd be the starter is another thing.
Hmm.
Now, the problem is do you go for someone like, who's the guy, who's the backup in BC? Riley? No.
Yeah, but he's a free agent, I think.
Well, I know if you pick him up and then you have Nichols as the backup, hey, that's not bad. The only problem with that is you have two really good quarterbacks or two very good potential quarterbacks, and then when Ottawa comes back into the league the year later and can steal one.
This is true. I'm just trying to look up. A couple weeks ago, I had asked what we should talk about on this episode, and some people responded.
You should talk about The Hobbit.
Did you guys see The Hobbit?
I did. It's very good.
I don't have a movie theater here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it in 3D with the 48 frames per second?
I did indeed.
Really? So how'd you, this is like totally not sports, but what'd you think of that?
No, it's not.
Thanks, Father Travis, for clarifying that. No, it's not.
They don't play Quidditch there? Is that not the franchise? They play Quidditch?
Yeah, no, what? I mean, they, I don't know. The 3D thing, I don't know about the footed, whatever shots. Well,
they doubled the number of frames per second, so apparently it looks more smooth and stuff, but anyway.
It was really good. Like, I don't like the 3D typically. I went to the Avatar, and I went to a couple other ones, and I prefer the regular, like, movie. But this, for Hobbit, it was really good. But I want to see it again without the 3D, but...
Right.
It was definitely... One of the best movies I've seen in a while. So,
okay, sounds good. Well, there's one more quick question before you have to head out, Father Jeffrey.
I don't actually answer your question. Are you still going to The Hobbit, or are you going to go back to sports?
I'm going back to sports.
Okay, can I answer the question about the Grand Shaw thing?
Yes, please do.
No, it says the Edmonton Eskimos continue to shorten the list of potential free agents with the signing of non-import kicker Grant Shaw to new contract. And in keeping with club policy, the terms of the contract will not be disclosed.
Okay. It might have been a Twitter rumor I saw.
He said six digits, but actually interesting. I never really realized this, but it also says Shaw earned CFL Special Teams Player of the Week honors twice in 2012 and was the Eskimo nominee for the most outstanding special teams player.
Right. And the Eskimos would have made the playoffs in the West if he had made a couple of field goals. But besides that...
Well, but I mean, that comes more with timing, right?
Yes, this is true.
Does that mean... I mean, he's not very good under pressure, I don't know. But the other advantage is he is a non-import.
That is true, too. Yes. Now, the question that... there was a question asked when I asked for topics. So I'll just throw this out there. Is NASCAR racing a sport or not? We can expand that to auto racing in general, but NASCAR, is it a sport or not?
I've developed an elaborate theory on what I constitute a sport and what I constitute kind of sporting and what I constitute games.
Okay.
And, under my definition, I wouldn't call it a sport. I'd call it like sporting or something, but sporting games, but it's not a true sport.
Now, what is your criteria for a true sport? Like,
okay. There needs to be actual physical, athletic kind of competition. And it has to be where the offense or the defense or one side can influence and interact and with the other one. Not like taking turns. So curling, for example, I would call it like sporting game. But
what?
I don't know about that.
Directly encounter the other team. You take a turn, you throw a rock, or you throw a dart, for example, on a wall.
That's
next guy throws a dart. You can't jump in front of the dart and chuck it back at the person, okay?
Okay, but like, what about like track and field?
You're saying that's not
a sport. Track and field's not a sport. It's a
what?
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
I'm going to interject.
Please do.
It's on dictionary.com.
It's faster.
Dictionary.com, definition of sport. Number one, an athletic activity requiring skill or physical prowess and often of a competitive nature as racing, baseball, tennis, golf, bowling, which wouldn't go with what you just said, wrestling, boxing, hunting, fishing, etc.
Those aren't good examples.
Well, I just can't believe you wouldn't think track and field would be a sport.
Is fishing a sport, Daryl? Come on.
Sport fishing?
Yes, it is.
No, it's sport. It's kind of a sporting thing, but it's not. I wouldn't call it a true sport.
Oh, I opened this up way too late in the episode because you got to go to hockey pretty soon.
For example, I got a poker night on Friday. I'm not saying I'm going to go, you know, work out and get ready for my sporting event on Friday.
Right.
That's a game.
Crap.
It's a game.
You've got to leave right now, right?
I got to go and play an actual sport called ice hockey.
I can agree with if there's no athletic ability required. I can agree with that not being a sport.
I can't. Chess is a sport.
Oh, okay.
See, he's turning games into sports, and that's my problem. Is I'm not saying it's not good, not that I don't like it. It's not sporty. It's not competitive. I just think that there needs to be a clear definition between, and so like race car driving, it takes a lot of prowess. It takes a lot of skill, but I wouldn't call it an athletic sport. Okay. Like using the body.
And I agree with you on that, by the way.
Okay, good.
But I would also say that, like, say the 100 meter sprint is a sport.
I would call that athleticism or whatever, but it's not a sport. It's like just like lifting weights and then having a weightlifting competition. It's not a sport in my mind.
Sure, it is.
It's showing athletic esque exercise and basically saying who can lift the most. It's a competition. It's a who can lift the most competition.
And there's a question. In what words, not using examples, what is your definition of sport?
I think I did. I said it's an athletic competition, right?
Yes, okay.
But also competitive directly with your opposition, okay? So not when you lift weights, okay? Hungarian guy walks up and lifts 300 pounds or whatever. Kazaki guy walks up, lifts. They're not actually wrestling. They're not like interacting with each other. They're just like taking turns, and it's a game. Like, so chess too. You're even competing against each other, but you're not physically and you're not athletically. You can't come in there and like change the other guy's move. All you can do is take your turn. I don't think turns are games. They're not a sport, right?
So it's just like Civilization with muscles?
Exactly. So if I was lifting weights and also trying to beat you in Civilization, it doesn't make it a sport. Just because it's in the Olympics doesn't make it a sport either. But the reality is there has to be lively interaction. That's how I would say it.
Well, how about this? We'll throw this out to our listeners. Please comment about this, about how wrong Father Jeffrey is on this topic in the show notes or on Twitter. Or if, even if you somehow agree with him.
The reason why you have to ferment the idea here and be more selective in the strict sense of what a sport is, because everything then becomes a sport, right? Like, so like, yeah, poker, is it a sport? And it's not a sport. Like, who do you guys agree that
that's but there's no athleticism with it. That's why.
There's as much athleticism in poker as there is in chess, and there's as much, and to a lesser degree in race car driving, there's a lot of intellectual and quick reflexes and thinking, and also the constitution to be able to sit that long and be focused.
Sure. I agree with that.
In StarCraft for 12 hours, okay? That doesn't make it a sport.
But no, I agree with you, Father Jeffrey, that race car, qualifying, right. And race car driving is probably not a sport. I will, however, disagree with you when you say that the 100-meter sprint is not a sport. Because
I wouldn't say it's a sport. I would say it's about the same as weightlifting.
I know you would. However, if you look at two people racing one another, even just look at two kids, you tell them to run as fast as they can. Okay, they run fast. Now, if you put two kids beside each other, they're going to push themselves beyond what they otherwise would just to try to beat the other person. Therefore, there is a competitive nature showing with competing directly with physical prowess, even if they aren't actually going to run into each other.
I agree. Well, I know you've got to go, Father Jeffrey. I don't know if you want to keep hashing this out. Save it for another episode.
That's why there's different levels. I'm just saying there's a strict sense of sport that I kind of have in my mind, like a interactive, competitive sport. Even baseball, right? If you hit the ball, guy races and tries to catch it or doesn't catch it, there's an offense-defense dynamic.
Sure.
And that's why I think there should be like that capital S sport. And then there's like sports that are like, you know, racing and track and how high can you jump? Oh, how high can I jump?
That's like capital S saint versus lowercase saint versus...
And then there's like sporting activities like hunting and fishing and who can sit on the top of a hole as a monk in Middle Ages for how long competitions, right? Those are sporting, like almost like bets, but they're fun.
Yeah, they're fun, but they're not athletic. And I think that's where I would draw the line.
It's athletic to sit on top of a pole, not eat anything for 40 days or whatever those monks and those philosophers did, right? It takes athleticism. It takes your body. Just like playing poker, you need to be focused. You need to kind of have your mind and your body all working right, right?
You don't need to be focused. Maybe that's why I lose all the time, but you don't need to be focused.
You know what I think? Well, yeah, exactly. But I think what the key is, not that you don't use your body, like driving, you use your body. The key is it's not the primary focus of the competition, right? There's other factors. So, like, I think a true sport, I mean, it should be a true physical competition, right? And mental competition, not just one or the other, or you know, in that priority, it should be a physical competition.
All right. Well, I think we got to throw this out to our listeners. Please comment on the show notes at thesportsfathers.com or send us an email, feedback@thesportsfathers.com, or rant away on our Facebook or Twitter accounts. That'd be totally fine. We'd love to hear what you think about this topic. I think that's about most of the time that we have for this evening. Did you guys want to get any more words in about anything else?
Father Travis, renew your passport.
All right. Great stuff planning future trips to other countries. That's very sporting. Oh, wait, it's not athletic. Anyway.
No, that's not a direct competition.
Very good. Well, have a great evening, everyone.
God bless. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Did your cat come back, Travis?
What? The very next day?
Did you ever find your cat?
Yes.
I don't remember hearing the end of the story. I just remember it ran away.
Oh yeah, that was a long time ago.
It just couldn't stay away.
Well, I just can't remember what was the conclusion to the story.
They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back.
Oh.
He just couldn't stay away.
Give me a meow.
Way.
Okay, this is gonna be awesome. We're singing Fred Penner.
Okay.
There's my outtake there anyway.